Matthew's Gospel 28. We'll be looking at the subject, as we do every year. Are you listening to the Spirit of God? I gave you a background last week about someone I know who was listening to something. And sometimes it's good to check, am I listening to the Spirit of God? A couple of years ago, looks like yesterday, actually I think it was 26 years ago actually, that the Lord said this, and I've always kept that in mind. And that's to me, but I believe it can be a blessing to you. That some things happen because you prayed. Others because you walked in love. Some because you acted in faith. He said, however, whatever actions you take, whether in the spirit or in the flesh, it has a series of reactions that always follow it. In other words, there are always consequences to all my decisions. My decision to be in this service has a consequence. There are certain places I should have been that I didn't go. That may mean that there are certain things I must have missed out because I didn't go. Certain people I haven't seen because I'm here. Same way if I pray. Same way if I study. Same way if I'm led by the Spirit of God. So there was a chain of reaction, was actually what he said to me. That's personal, like I said. But I always share it just in case it can bless you. It's not a doctrine or statement. A chain of reaction will always follow. And so you need to learn the leading of the Spirit because it's both useful for you and also those around you. You won't want to be a close friend to someone who doesn't know when God is talking. You wouldn't want to be a friend to someone or be married to someone, male and female, whether husband or wife, who cannot or is not particular, is not doesn't really care, doesn't put his attention on listening to God. You won't want to be a friend to that kind of person. And neither would you want to be a friend to people where they cannot trust your counsel that is from God's Spirit. And so that's why when people ask me for counsel, oftentimes, some guys will tell me, I know what you are going to say. I say, what? They say, we are going to say, let's talk about it later. Because I'm not God. So I kind of want to think about it. And as I'm thinking about it, I'm praying about it. Or I'm just praying, then the thing comes. Then I know what to do. I've learned sometimes to give responses. Sometimes I don't give responses till about a year. Sometimes two. I've watched, for example, in my life. I remember something, Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, there's Kenneth W. Hagin, Pastor Hagin, right, and I quote both of them. He said, there was a time, no, he didn't say this actually, it was Gloria Copeland. Now, Gloria Copeland is not somebody, a young person, but because we've never called her brother, sister Gloria Copeland, we've never called her Pastor Gloria Copeland, we've never called her Reverend Gloria Copeland, so we call her Gloria Copeland because it's a signature name. She's actually 74, I think. That's a bit old, right? You think so? Right. So she shared the story of one time that herself and husband, Kenneth Copeland, again, that's another person that we don't call him Reverend or Brother. Well, people call him Brother, but I don't. But I just think Brother Copeland, 83 years old, is a bit too brotherly. But somehow I call Brother Hagin. Again, Brother Hagin is a signature name. It's a signature name. All right. So let me go into all that history. So she said that there was a time, and I learned from that. She said they got into something as a ministry, and they got into trouble. And so they were bothered, and they asked Brother Hagin, because Brother Hagin, if you want to know how God leads people, listen to Kenneth Hagin. And then he says to them, you need to know that sometimes it's not that what you did was an error. The error was when you did it. Then he said to them, you need to know how God deals with you. And that got me really blessed. He said, for me, somehow because of the way I respond, certain things God will have me do, like 10, 20 years, he tells me ahead. So, but some of us, we hear something from God, we have a leading from God, we think it's tomorrow morning. And you know you have to learn to deal with that because you are dealing with an eternal being who lives in you and we're in a limited space. So sometimes you need to find out when. So prayer doesn't stop when I know what to do. Prayer continues. Even when I know when to do it, I don't stop praying. And so sometimes we just need to have those details, you know. So in Matthew's Gospel 28, let's quickly see that. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority is given me in heaven and on earth. Then it says, go ye therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them in verse 20 to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And it says, lo, I'm with you always till the end of the age. Now, you can miss the last statement, which is the operative word there. Lo, I am with you. And that's where the key issue is. I'm with you. How is he with them? Again, like I said last week, he's about to leave them, physically speaking. He says, I'm with you. In other words, the attention needs to go to the things he had commanded them. And he has said to them, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. John 14 and 18 through to 19. And 20 says, in that day you know I am in the Father, and I am in you, and you are in me. So when he says, Lord, I'm with you always, that's the indwelling of the Spirit. So when we say Christ leads us, we're saying the Spirit leads us. And, you know, just put this somewhere, it's good for your study, that the personal leadership of the Spirit or the personal leading of the Spirit is so that you will act on the Word. The leading of the Spirit is acting on the Word. One, the leading of the Spirit is so that you act on the Word. So either way, the leading of the Spirit is acting on God's Word. It's not a personal stuff that then you run contrary to God's Word. That's why those who taught us earlier days will say, the Spirit will not contradict the Word. It looks... Now, you know, you say it differently now. They say the Spirit and the Word agree. And you say, oh, no, the Word is the Spirit. You know, you could go into all that exegesis. But basically what they mean is like, whatever the Spirit of God tells, which is personal, will not contradict the written Word. So you're always safe with the written Word. Always safe. Because the leading of the Spirit is acting on the written Word. That individual leading of the Spirit is acting on the written Word. And so, when it says, lo, I'm with you, two words are there. It says, teaching them to observe, which is the word terio. Terio simply means to watch, like he's going to get lost. Then it says, I'm with you always till the end of the age. Lo, which means to look at, or raho in the Greek, it means to open your eyes to behold a vision, a picture, or a scene. So, we have a responsibility to look. You have a responsibility to observe. Never, did I talk last week, about putting out fleeces? Do never interpret God with your experiences. Now, the Lord can tell you the reason for the experience, no doubt. But don't allow experiences to become God's leading for you. And again, one of the things you're going to observe is, do not gauge God's leading using opportunity. Opportunity. There's an opportunity for me to do this. Opportunities, oftentimes, not all the time, are temptations. Jesus had the opportunity to be a king. In fact, he had the opportunity to be a king made by men. They asked him that they wanted to make him a king. He said that. So you can have that opportunity given to you by men on a platter. I believe I warned you on Sunday again and last week Wednesday that we be careful, excuse me, of the spirit of this age that tends to ease. That tends to things just coming easy. Some guys don't want to go to church. They say, well, if I, they even came up with a doctrine of the church is not a building. We've heard that before. They now said, you know, church is not a building. I told one of the apostles of that statement. I said, you were not saved when I taught that. We were calling church joint. You were still drinking. So that's not a new thing. Alright? So, but the church is not a gathering. The church is a people. Anywhere you are is a church. Why? Because why did that thought come? Because of technology. When they've seen the ease of how you can be in your room and listen to someone all the way from America who is in Nigeria, you know, all those strange doctrines start coming to you. Well, you can see how it's easy to, in fact, some people now do prayer meetings online. Not the one you are doing that you claim to wake yourself up by 4:30. I'm up. Not that one. You just say, and log in. You know, and when you see the ease by which you can download, I mean, I can recall how we used to queue to dub tapes. Queue. And then it's just one face. So the master and then what they were dubbing in. So when you quickly went in, I went for a camp meeting, a conference, and I quickly booked for all the things. I was about number 8. And when I queued, I was on the queue, you know, and the queue for it lasted for a few hours. And just a few tapes. And you guide them jealously like eternal life. It is on bread, we borrow it. But to say, where are these breads at? Say, we are the bread. The other day, you take the tapes. So look at the ease now, just on your phone. On your phone. How some of us had to, back then, I can imagine people in China, or people in the 19th century, because we still had some ease. I'm wondering what will come in the next 50 years. Maybe just by looking into the sky, you see people. I don't know. I don't know what will happen. You get it, and you have to download. So the labor to study. I personally, I have access to all these apps where you can use the Greek concordances, but I just stick to the written one. So I said, why are you so archaic? No, it's just a consecration, you know. But you use the apps. I teach you. You download, you have all the E sword, M sword, E armor of God. I'm the one teaching you. Praise God. You know, I'm not saying you should use them, but there's just the ease. So sometimes we interpret God from the ease and comfort that we get. God, be careful. So opportunity doesn't mean God provided it. Doesn't mean. Dear brother, I don't know why I keep talking about him. Maybe one day he's going to hear me. He got an opportunity to leave the country. And he did. Now, you know, he told me after he had done all that, so all the work, and so he traveled. And we only were able to communicate through Nitel, so we call Nitel. Sometimes I'll call him the telephone in the house then, and of course I had to do it with all wisdom. You know that wisdom? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You don't know it? Oh my God. You know that wisdom? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You must get the number. Or else you start all over again. If you are going to type 01, do you know what I'm talking about? You don't know 01. 01782. Our phone number has 01782403. That's the phone number. So you do for O, that's 0. You go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Then 1, 1. Quickly, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 1, 2, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 3. If you miss one, then you start all over again. So I had to call him with those kind of numbers, and he said, having a good time. So in fact, you know, he used to call me prophet then. So, oh, prophet, I've been having a great time. This is a wonderful. I said, hey. I said, are you praying about it? Yeah, I prayed. And he says he has prayed. Has he not prayed? What do you want to say? He said he has prayed. How are you doing, the brethren? And later on, he started talking about opportunities have come. And I said, be careful. Ah, no, sir. No, it's for the gospel. It's for your pocket. So I'm even thinking, and you know, sometimes some guys will know what you want to hear. I'm even thinking that when I get to that place, an opportunity to take the gospel to that place. He knows what you want to hear. As long as you hear gospel. Ah, pastor, we're coming here too. Hallelujah. I asked someone a question one time, and she said to me, I'll go and do my ministry there. I said, it's your ministry. Go and do it. And so he got into trouble. Got into trouble. And one reaction leads to another, because you can be responsible for the decisions you take, but you cannot determine the consequences. That's just the plain truth. You cannot determine the consequences. And so, we need to watch the opportunities that come to us, even as ministers. Seth Hagin told us a story of how, Brother Hagin now, how some people came to him and said, we want to finance your ministry. I said, they were billionaires, I think. And he said, he was so happy, the Lord told him, if you allow them to buy that building for you, they will run your ministry. And I've seen that model with many pastors and ministers of my generation, where because of that purpose, there are things you cannot preach, things you cannot teach, you can't even follow God again. Some guys will constitute the board, whatever they call it, for the church, and they determine what you do. And that's because you saw an opportunity for someone to pay for the land, to pay for that. Someone is careful, but not in a hurry. Praise God. We're not in a hurry. Never in a hurry. We just follow God. And we'll learn the process. Sometimes in that difficult period where as a pastor, you know, it looks like a struggle, it's actually a learning process. You learn to trust God. You learn to consecrate to His will. You know, look at the other side and be glad. But when you quickly want to get, you know, some earthly benefits, you will see every opportunity as, oh, God. You know, it's like a young woman who marries a man because the man has got a lot of money. And then the man doesn't have the character. He's not even saved. If he's saved at all, it's only in the book of life. And then they grow. She now looks back and discovers that she could have made the money either way. You want to leave the country because So you marry someone to travel with. Later in life, you find out that people will travel to those countries without marrying that guy. You get it? So really, some decisions are not worth it. It's not worth quickly doing it. There are pastors, for example, who go network with some ministers so they can have the crowd. So they use their faces on the billboards, on their posters. And they get into trouble. Because what it means is they might not be able to do what God has called them to do. Were you in a hurry? You want to quickly get it done. You want everybody to know. And we're in a fast-paced generation. You look at it. I mean, we just saw iPhone, then 2, then 3, then 4. I saw another one today. I said, when are they going to stop? They will never stop. So your appetite keeps getting increased. Just reworking your appetite for it. So you be careful not to allow this age dictate your decisions. Quickly, you want to do this. You want to do the next one. Be very careful. So, let's get back to that. I said, lo, I'm with you always. But look at verse 19, Matthew 28. He says, make disciples, which means a student, a pupil, a learner. Make disciples of every nation. I love something in that song we sang earlier. That song about the will of God. I forgot it again. What's it again? Huh? Your will is enough. One place I'm satisfied. Yeah, that's what. One place I'm satisfied is in your will. Now, something about that song is this. One place I'm satisfied is I am contented. You know, contentment is not sufficiency. You know, you can say, I'm satisfied is in your will. You think what it means is, one place I'll get cars. One place I'll have visa. One place I'll build my house. That's not what it means. Being satisfied is a decision. It's in your will. So that's a decision of yours. So we're pupils of the word. We're learning. Now, the word Matthew, which is where Matthew 28:19 comes off, you know, deals with learning. So we're going to pick out a scenario, which is in Luke 10, where you have Mary and Martha. And then you have Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Now, we said, I've taught you sitting at the feet is not sitting at someone's leg. Sitting at the feet means to submit to the authority. So we can have people listening to the teaching, but they are not submissive to it. Doesn't mean, the fact that you're listening to the teaching doesn't mean you're at the feet. So in Acts 22 verse 3, Paul says that he learned at the feet of one Gamaliel, the known Gamaliel. And when you read the book of Acts as well, when it says they laid all at the apostles' feet, that should be Acts 4, 36, 37. At the apostles' feet there, it had to do with not on their leg. It simply means according to their instructions. So the apostles' feet could be, Pastor, I have a, we have a teaching like that. Pastor, I have a bag of rice to give. I said, okay, give it to that brother. That's the apostles' feet. Oh, Pastor, I think this brother needs school fees or house rent. I want to give. Pastor says, no, don't do it. Rather than give to her, give to her. That's the apostles' feet. It's not in their hand or at their leg. It just means at their instruction. So you find Paul in 1 Corinthians 16 says that, as I have given the churches orders to the church of Galatia, even so do ye, that the first day of the week, that each man lay in store as he has prospered. That's apostles' feet, by instruction. So apostles' feet simply means at the instruction of the apostles. So for example, when Jesus tells his disciples, we get to a house and then I accept you. He says, you dust your feet, dust the soles of your feet. Also you see in Acts 14, where they dust their feet from the coast. It doesn't mean you remove your shoes in front of your persecutors. is you and your shoe, they'll be together. It means absorb yourself of the responsibility. So feet is often used for responsibility. At the apostles' feet is at their instruction, under their responsibility. So when you dust your feet, simply means, well, I'm not responsible anymore. Doesn't mean that you're going to do it literally. Simply means that, you know, let the burden of their city leave your heart. So that means you have dust the soles of your feet. Does it make sense? So she is submissive, which means it's very key that you are submissive. That's the first thing she does. That's Mary. Then she heard the word. I mean, she's listening. So disciples are good listeners. What did I say? They are good listeners. You know, you can hear and not listen. What I mean by that? You can be playing a teaching and you are not actually listening to it. You are not listening to it. You are not. How you know you are listening to anything, for example, and this is how I observe myself, I'll have to stop it at some point and rewind it. Then I'll have to note things down. I'll have to find out what I need to also check up and what I need to do. But I can hear it casually and I'm just casual. Oh, yeah. Oh! You know, like I teach you about punchline. You know, but I'm listening. Sometimes, when I'm listening, I have to switch it off again. I'm sorry. Stop it, then rewind it. What did I just hear? Then I go over it again. And I play it again. I remember something, one day I was with Brother Higgins, and I was surprised, because I listened to that a whole lot of times. I rewound that place 15 times. I can't forget that day. I kind of felt, I said, should I go concentrate. Now, concentrate. Play it again. I said, I missed it again. I play it again. So at some point, I switched off the air conditioner, switched off the TV. I said, there's noise disturbing you. Concentrate. You think I'm crazy. So I'm listening to it. That means listening and hearing something are two different things. When you listen, you often listen with your heart. So, there are times some of us are hearing, but we are not listening. Where you are paying attention. Sometimes how you know is you have a question. Listening always produces something to think about. Listening always produces something to think about. I said in listening you have questions. Questions, disciples always have questions. Lord, so do I? Okay, so Lord, am I supposed to? Lord, is it now? Lord, do I? Lord, okay, it means questions. That means you are listening. So listening produces questions, and disciples ask questions. So let's put it like this, let's bring it home. Last week, we talked about the inward witness. And I gave you a definition I've been using for 23 years. Who can remember that definition, the inward witness? So can we say it together, everybody? One, two, go. The inward witness is? Can you see Babel here? All over again, let's go. Witnesses, refutes, endorses, a fact, a person, an event, which is exposed to it. Very good. So, oftentimes, when you have an inward witness, it usually results into a question. But why? There's always a, why am I feeling like this? I've gotten everything sorted out. Why am I? And you just sense it. And sometimes it's very close to a revelation gift. One time like that, I think it was 2006 or 7. There were people staying in my house. And I was staying in Akoka. So I just woke up in the morning and I just had a strange impression. And I didn't know what it was, you know. I just felt like I shouldn't go to work. So I thought, because normally I used to leave for work because my office was at VI then. So by 4, I'm done. I'll get to VI, go and sleep the remaining sleep. So I won't sleep in traffic. I hate traffic, eh? The way I hate traffic is a bit serious. If there's traffic on Todd Millan Bridge, I'll come down from the car and walk down home. I prefer walking than being in traffic. I can walk from Lagos to the Ibadan rather than being in traffic. You don't want to see that side of me. I'll just get down and be walking. Let's see at home. So one day like that, we had a service. So I was in the service. So those I left at Todd Millan, they thought they were going to meet me on the road. And they just saw me in church. I said, I've walked. Enoch walked with God. But me, I'm here. So, you know, so I just sense I shouldn't go to work. And as I prayed a bit more, then I just said, why? Why am I going to work? We're supposed to have a meeting, and I felt, no, that's not the reason. Why am I having this strong impression? And oftentimes, because you are born again, you will know that it's about something. So I just stopped. So I told everybody at home, I said, nobody should go out. Because after I prayed a bit, I now had what I'm going to talk about now, a revelation gift that talked to everyone not to go home, not to go out. So I spoke to everyone. I said, shut the door. Nobody should go out. It was a very strange day, you know, and we stayed indoors. So not knowing that someone actually was in the danger of losing her life or whatever. Then we had to detect that. It was a very funny story. I don't want to relate the details. It took, and what would have happened, I would have gone to work. The person would have been at home, then left in the afternoon. We're not sure I would have seen the person again by the events that flowed afterwards. So sometimes you just say, why is this happening? Why am I feeling this way? And like the thing you would say, it's like you're washing your feet with socks on. Like just a strange. And oftentimes, it's an illogical perception. So, usually it will generate a question. Why am I feeling this way? Why am I feeling like this? Now, oftentimes, that question leads to either a revelation gift, where you now have a fact about the impression you have about that fact. Now, why am I feeling this way? Why am I just not comfortable? You know, 2001. I think is it one or two? Forget when I was supposed to travel to preach in Lagos, and I just sensed I shouldn't go. I used to teach there every Sunday, but that Sunday I just said I wasn't going. I just had this strong impression not to go. It was January, I think. I just said I won't go. That I'll just stay. So I'm not kind of thinking, but they will feel bad. I'm supposed to teach in this faith seminar. I teach there every Sunday. And I was like, they will feel bad. And but they will feel bad. But I didn't have a reason. You know, there was nothing I was going to tell them. So I just said, let me just pray a bit. I just did. You know. Interestingly and funny enough, that service never took place. It didn't take place under a very funny circumstance. That was the day of the bomb blast. The church was close by, and as soon as they heard Bobo, the brethren raptured from the service. Not just that, The thing about that meeting was that, I think it was a week before, that somebody gave me his entire salary and said he was going to do it every month. You know how one worked with me. That said he should not go. He said, "Dear my cash, what is that? I just collected 35K. And it's supposed to be monthly." The guy came, he laid all at my feet. Because his sister got healed. So he said he was late. Okay, by the third month, my conscience didn't take it again. I said, "Oga, it's enough. I've eaten enough. This thing can take me to hellfire." I said, "It's enough." She said, "Sir, I'm late." I said, "Let's lead it to the church. Give it to the church." Said, 3 months. The first one came on time because I made a pledge to give to household of God when they were doing a building project. So I just led. So it came. So that one looked supernatural. The second one, it was okay. But the third one, it's getting too supernatural. Even the widow of Zarephath, the oil is still finished. This oil doesn't look like what is going to finish. So, God, hold your money. Not that I had money. I didn't have money, but I just stopped it. So, imagine that it was a week after they now had the leading. Not to go to the place where your needs were met. There's no better way to bind Satan. I just said. So, that service in hold. They now said that. So, they had, go, 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 go. It was the person that was leading. They were waiting for me. Brr. Pastor took off. So the actual pastor, who is a friend, or a junior friend, said he just was led to stay in one place. Just stood in one place. The pastor broke his leg eventually. Members. And there was nothing that happened in the church. It was just a sound. Pastor, what happened? We're trying to run. Man of God. But the point was, I didn't even know why. Because the distance of the bomb blast to the church was far. So I couldn't have imagined that happened. It was the week after that I learned, then I said, "You are a real man of God." It was that week you didn't go. I was like, "Hey, are you the one that threw the bomb?" But the point is, I was asking. I was just asking, why am I having this leading? Why am I just feeling like, don't go? There will always be a question because it's not a logical impression. So the key for us is to be able to listen and listen well. Amen. I always share the story of this sister who just told me, she said, "I had this guy, the guy was doing well. I mean, in those days, they gave him a branded car. It's the 90s, actually. So she just felt that she just had this, that every time they were in the service, that she would just have a strong impression. She'd look at him and see somebody else. Almost like, when you look at someone, you are seeing something else. Maybe, say like a creature. Of course, the way you perceive, because it's the way she passed. If I'm the one that had that kind of impression, I won't see a creature. But she saw that. She's not asking me why. Say, but they have, we're good. That outside spiritual things, that they flow well. But when it comes to spiritual things, there's just this incompatibility. And the guy is a very lovely, lovely guy, I'm still not sure whether I was saved, because she didn't tell me. Women don't tell you exactly. He's a good guy. He's godly. He's just carnal. He will grow. I've seen somebody tell me an unbeliever is a Christian because she's in love. She said, "No." She said, "You teach us that carnal Christian. You teach us that it be like a mere man." I said, "Ah." Yeah, he's a mere man. So he doesn't act it, but I know. He says he believes. As a pastor, you just say yes. So all my investment in your life is to say somebody believes in his heart. Hi. So she just said that. But, and I said something to her. I said, you know, what you probably need to do, and of course, don't give anybody direct instruction in that area. May God guide you. Yes or no, and that's, those issues can land you in Golgotha. So I said, just pray. That cancer, just pray, has never ceased to work. It will work. Even for somebody going to hell. I said, just pray about it. I said, but you know, when you pray about it, just pray out God's will. Of course, she did. And she found out the guy was an homosexual. And a practicing one, not temptation at all. And the guy was very cool. If the guy sees you, how are you? Lovely, well dressed, you know. Particularly, most of these damsels they walk by sight. Man is a spirito. Let me tell you. Man is a spirito. Mm-hmm. See, man is a spirito. Woman also is a spirit. Woman and man are spirito. Anyway, so. You know, when she said that, she, now when she said, what do I do? What do I do? I said, well, it doesn't mean you shouldn't marry him. It doesn't mean you should marry him. I've learned from the great Toki. The great Toki. Just follow your heart. Follow your heart. You know, you are still leading the person back to the Spirit of God. Yeah. It's true. He says, you. Is you follow your heart, oh, follow your heart. Just trust God. He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you what to do. But the point was, you know, it was a strange impression on the spirit. And you have that. And most of the time, there's no time a believer doesn't have that impression. Because you are born of God. You have to. So it will raise questions. Why am I suddenly sensing this? You know? Now, we're also mistaken this for the word of knowledge. It's not the word of knowledge. Now, the word of knowledge would normally carry a fact. Alright? The inward witness is a reaction to a fact. For example, you can have a word of knowledge about someone. Alright? The inward witness will now react to what you saw. There was a lady like that. She was not in the ministry then. I just saw a vision, and I saw her. Because I was younger then, so now I'm more mature than I was then. And I saw her go. You know what? Oftentimes in a revelation gift, you just see a scene and you know what it is. So I said, this is a very strong ally. This is somebody that used to teach even in my absence then in the 90s. So I just sensed that the error I made was I quickly shared it with somebody that was very close. So as soon as I did that, I took it lightly and went to tell the fellow, almost like I cooked it up. So sometimes you should be smart. So as I prayed a bit more, I now had a witness about it that I shouldn't pray about it. I wonder, why should you not pray about it? You know, that's another question. I should pray now. Sometimes the praying gets you confused. Not praying, but you are praying about what you do not pray about. You get you confused. So I just felt, oh, okay. And I just left it like that. And the moment I did that, what now happened was I now had more facts revealed to me. So I knew the reason why the person I shared it with reacted badly. So many times it brings in questions. Why am I feeling like this about it? Sometimes a plan you have made, even as a pastor, you're like, why am I feeling like this? Like, I think I told you the other week that if you are used to praying in the spirit a lot, there will be an inaction on your part. It's like, you were very fervent about something, then on unsolicited, unplanned, you just slow down. Why am I slowing down? You know? Why am I slowing down on this? Why suddenly am I not fast about what I was very fast about? And I often used to detect people when you, sometimes you just sit back and think. And if you have observed this very well, have you discovered that there are some people from nowhere? When you are, now, I got this from a lot of experience from others. At the moment you want to backslide, as we say, some guys will just show up. Like they'll be the ones calling you. They'll just be around you to receive you. No, it's not funny. It's a way to detect people. Huh? Now, this is not related, but years ago, there was this friend of my father. My dad was on leave, so he was around. And I used to do teaching meeting every evening. Every evening. I'll fast from morning till evening, then I'll teach. So about the time, and I know my dad will go out in the evening, he usually goes out about 4, 5. And this man will now come in at 3. Our own meeting starts at 5. He won't leave until 6. The first day, he came. It looks coincidental. The second day, the third day, shall I pray? He didn't come again. I knew this was, no, I'm not joking, no, this is not coincidental. Do you know that people can yield to the devil very easily? Let me tell you a few things. There may be people you want to spark for. You know, when you say spark, it's not that you're angry. You just want to tell them something that they've done wrong. Even at that, follow your spirit. When you see, I mean, have you had a time where you were maybe under pressure, so maybe at work, and it wasn't a palatable day, or maybe school, and then is at that time somebody just calls you, look, I wanted to tell you what you did that day. You feel that that's not really, it's like he's worsening the issue. That fellow yielded to the devil. So sometimes even saying the right thing, check your spirit. Check your spirit. There are some things, that's not the time to say it. I told you about a pastor last week, right? Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? That I was led to call him, but I just didn't. I waited till I was led to when to call him. Was it last week I said it? Now, when I saw him, he said that was exactly what happened. I just knew, and by the time we had a discussion, he just shook his head. He shook his head. Interestingly, he told me that what I said, the Lord just showed them in their church a few days before. So I called him at the right time. There's always also knowing, even in your family, maybe you want to say something to your wife or your husband. I gave you the Brother Higgins story last week. Did I? When Pastor Linette will say, he will come around. He won't say anything. Sometimes you just say, well, I'll talk to you about it later. It's knowing the right time to say it. Even in giving counsel, follow the Spirit of God. It's not every time you... No. You talk. No. Sometimes even the way you go about it. I've seen people tell me that many times. So that was what you were trying to tell me all along. I said, I knew it. I was just trying to tell you all along. But the best for me to do was to follow God's spirit, how we go about it. Now, knowing that I'm your pastor, for example, if I say something, it will carry weight. But I want you to be persuaded of God. So I'd rather just be slow and watch and pray about it and know when and how to say it. Now, that is the inward witness, even with the revelation gift. Who's following what I'm saying here? Are you getting it? So watch your spirit. Some of these guys that have word of knowledge and give people's details out is because they are illiterate, spiritually speaking. You can know what not to say. You can know what not to say. What not to say. I've conducted a wedding like this. And I knew the eventual event in 2 years. And I thought, should I not say it? In fact, the way I saw it in the spirit was almost like my mouth was blocked. And I was in the wedding. I was the one that conducted it. Well, I was not the main person, but I was a major person. This was years back in the 90s. I just thought, how come I'm feeling this way? I shouldn't talk about it. And I didn't. And it was wise I didn't. So the inward witness is a reaction. Is a reaction. Even in teaching. Listen to this part. Sometimes I get to a point. It's not like I wanted to teach. I'll just look at my notes. And my spirit. I just know in my spirit. No. Leave this one till another time. Till another time. Or, I wouldn't exactly have any clarity. I just say, leave this detail. I just know that there is a hush here. So it's a reaction. It's a reaction. Amen. So, now look at Acts 13. Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work where to have called them. Acts 13 2. That was a direct word of knowledge. Okay? And a word of wisdom, a revelation gift through an utterance. Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work where to have called them. Amen. Now, that is an utterance, a revelation gift. But look at how they went about it. In Acts 14:9, he perceived. Okay? Acts 16, verse 18, grieved in the spirit. So, the inward witness deals with the intricate details. Is it a Monday? Is it a Tuesday? Is it now? Is it tomorrow? Is it with him? Is it with her? The intricate details. Intricate details. I entered a room one day and I had like an envelope in the atmosphere. I knew, by the spirit of sin, I knew what it was. So as I went out with those guys, I knew it was something not too good about what I saw. So I was going out, I just prayed in the Holy Ghost a bit more. When I didn't know what the details were, but I knew it was about the woman and her family. So I just said to people around me, I said, there's something that will be very funny about so and so person. I said, let's just pray. Now I didn't have all the details, but I knew enough to pray. Sometimes you just talk to people and just have an impression. Why am I feeling this way? And why am I feeling this way? Except where you have a clear-cut direction not to pray, just pray. Just pray in the Holy Ghost about the person. Just pray in the Holy Ghost about the person. I called someone. He was talking to me. And he would be talking about ministry. And he knew what I wanted to hear. Every time he said that thing on the phone, I had this reaction in my spirit that felt like, no. And you give me all the details. So one day, about a year after 2011, I just called him up. I said, you were lying to me. You had actually stopped your church 2 years ago. And you were doing so and so. He said, yes, I was just trying to tell you. I said, you were not trying to tell me, you were lying. I said, and you are making people give as partners to that church. He said, yes. Say, well, I'm trying to start again. I said, no. You are still not. Now, some people are very hard. Even with revelation gift, they will still not obey you. Yeah, no, it's not like that. It's not like that. Say, well, I received the word of God from you and all that and all that. And it never changed. So, there are times like that, even in talking to people, watch the reaction of your spirit. Don't forget that. Watch the reaction of your spirit. So, Paul had a direction from God, Acts 13 2, but that's not the end. You still have a responsibility to follow the inward witness, even when you had a vision and a revelation, whether in ministry, whether in marriage, whether in everyday life, business, your career, and so on and so forth. Acts 17, where He was stirred, verse 16, in the spirit. All these are reactions. Acts 18, we saw it last week, and verse 5, pressed in the spirit. Now look at Acts 20:22, which is a core part. Acts 20:22. And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me. Now notice what he's not saying. Not knowing the details. I go bound. That word means I'm compelled. He plays with words. He's eventually going to be imprisoned, held, and bound. But he says, I go bound in the spirit. That is, in the spirit, I'm already bound. I'm compelled to go there. But not knowing the things. So the inward witness might not include facts. Oftentimes, I know and I don't know. That's what he's saying. I know, yet I don't know. I know to go there, but I don't know what will be there. I know to keep doing what I'm doing. I don't know what will come out of it. So, the knowledge is more of an impression to act and not knowing the consequences or circumstances around it. I know. Not know. It's the same with the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city that bonds and afflictions abide me. The Holy Ghost witnesses in every city that bonds and afflictions. That is, by utterances, I was now told, bonds and afflictions. Yet in my spirit, I'm led to go. So, sometimes, now, don't forget, there's an utterance that has revelation. Oh, this will happen. So the utterance is not the leading. The utterance carries the facts of the leading. The leading itself is the inward witness. I'm bound to go. I'm bound to go. Now, which means that oftentimes, there is no circumstance that we don't have a pre-information or prior information about, either by the inward witness or that inward impression in our spirit. So, but well, then look at what Paul now says, which is a vital part here. I'll come to that later. Where he says, none of these things will be, we'll come to it. In Acts 27, when he says, I perceive. Acts 27, verse 10. I perceive. A perception. And that's why, when you have those who teach the leading of the Spirit accurately, and I think I heard this even as a younger Christian, that rather than quickly saying, God told me, it's wise to just say, I sense, I perceive, or maybe an old Christian term, it seems laid on my heart, you know. But God, when you don't have all the details, so I just perceive. I perceive we should just hold on a bit. I perceive we should just pray about it a little bit more. I perceive, you know. And of course, Paul wasn't really accurate because he got everything right but something. But the point was that whatever was going to happen, he knew it. I perceive. So the inward witness has that perception. Eventually, he now got the revelation. There shall be no loss of life except the sheep. So, oftentimes, the facts come after. Oftentimes, the facts come afterwards. The inward witness often doesn't reveal facts. Romans 8:16, the Spirit also bears witness with some material in the Greek, which is in Romans 9:1, like an active sense, and some material, an active sense, an active impression, like a note. like a punch. Like, sometimes it's like a feeling. People think it's a feeling. It's not a feeling. Like a feeling, like your body felt something. It's not your body. It's actually in your spirit. Like a feeling. It's almost like it has a resultant effect in the physical body, but it's not. It's your spirit that is responding to something you said or something someone said. So when the questions come, the questions therefore will come in form of what you can call a supplication. Lord, am I to go? Am I to go with him? Am I to go there? Is it meant for me or him? Then you now begin to pray. That's why you have the word thesis. And I guess some folks are, you know, somebody was having some battle with me over the word I decree and declare. And I said, decree and declare is not prayer. And I understand what the person was saying. Made sense, but I guess went to a bit of an extreme. But the thing is that in prayer, both the two key words for us, the erotao prayer, John 17, where Jesus was praying, they call it the priesthood prayer, where he was a communication that is like a conclusion, where you are praying, but you are actually saying a discussion. Erotao is like a discussion with a higher authority over an issue that has been discussed and concluded. We also have supplication where you have this, is where you are actually beseeching. So when those questions come, I'm praying, therefore, will be, those questions are now in prayer. Those questions are now in prayer. So the inward witness throws up that question. Like I said, because it's usually very illogical, and most of the time, when you have an inward witness, you cannot trace it to something you were feeling or something that you knew. You just, it's oftentimes independent of your actions before. And that's why you have to be careful not to interpret this as the emotions of fear, doubt, anxiety, or worry. They are not the same. It's also not suspicion. They've already told you that that sister has demon. She now brought food. Or that brother has demon. He now gives you something. You say you have a inward witness. That's not a inward witness. You know, what some people have is the gift of suspicion. You get it. Inward witness is not fear, is not anxiety, or the gift of suspicion. No. No. Because now, this is by the way, but you can, it becomes useful. You can, when you have fear over something, have you discovered that the reason why, you know, children can be very careless. And they will run around, they will go anywhere, they will run towards the street. The reason why they are like that is because there is no prior information about cars. They don't have any information that wires, so they don't, but you have seen it. You probably have felt it. And the same way they relate to human, everybody. Children can, oh, they just want an uncle, you know. You say, Chase! You know. You are careful. Because of a movie you are watching, something that happened to your brother, your cousin, you know, you have information. So you can usually you can trace fear to where did it come from. There's an information that's making you think like this. Somebody told you something happened to you. You can always trace fear. You can always trace doubt and suspicion. But the inward witness has nothing logical trace to it. Nothing. Nothing. Not that somebody had told you, somebody said, no. You just have it in your spirit that, well, you're just. And where you don't know what to do, it's better to just be slow. Now, when I say slow, doesn't mean slow down and stop. It just means be a little bit withdrawn on the matter. be a little bit withdrawn on the matter. 21 years ago, I was given two offers by two prominent ministers. I was young enough to jump at those offers. I told you the one earlier on in 98 when I was told to pastor for someone. And when the offer came, you know, I prayed, no doubt, but I knew it was someone I respected a lot. One, the other person was not, was still another person. And he says, look, they need you, X, Y, Z, and all that. I knew that what I was meant to do then, and I'm still saying it 21 years ago, was to pastor somewhere else. I still say it. Not because it's of any use to anyone now. But I said, no. That time, this was the ministry I ought to have pastored. When I met the person who was meant to hand it over to me, I told him. I told him years after. When he even came to me to come and learn ministry, I said, you know what happened that year? You were meant to do so and so. That's the, so it did, now, it never happened. It didn't mean God didn't lead me. Do you understand what I'm saying? It never happened. Sometimes you have a witness about something that should happen, but will not happen. I knew. I still say it. In fact, some of my friends say, you say this thing often. I say, I've been saying it since that year. I was meant to do this. I didn't eventually do it. And that was because the person who was supposed to make me do it did not allow me to do it. But I knew I didn't disobey God. So I told him, I said, you disobeyed God. So what he did then was to just fight me and call me a heretic. You know, I've been hearing heretic for years. He's a heretic. He doesn't dance and clap. He doesn't dance and clap. He's a do Greek word. He's too spirit. You know all those things. I said, all those things she said, you knew it in your spirit that I ought to be the one to pastor that church. Now, when I say it now, is it because I want to go and pastor it? No. It's because that was a fact. Because I had two offers of quite bigger churches and ministries. I said no. Now this is where I'm led. And I knew it. So sometimes it wouldn't even happen, no. Are you following my point? It won't happen. It won't happen. So the inward witness, like I said, is, and the thing about that particular ministry where I was led to, was it was a place where they were fighting me. Imagine. And that's where you are led to pastor. You are led, God, is it that you're forgetting things includes events? You know, just joking. So then I just say, but why here? So it's of utmost importance how you know the inward witness. It doesn't always lead to a palatable end in the sense of it will now make you very happy. You are just happy in spite of it. You are happy in spite of it. So it's not fair. Is that very clear? It's not anxiety. I've not been able to sleep since yesterday. Why? Because they told you there's Bado. It's not a war witness. That is news witness. I've not been able to, you know. Somebody says something to you about maybe your brother, your husband, your wife. Say, you are now sensing. What you are sensing is what you were told. You get it? So, the sensing. You saw a doctor's report. They now have inward witness. That's not inward witness. That's fear. Okay? The inward witness is a response. Illogical, uninformed by fear, uninformed by a suspicion, to every fact exposed to it. So as a pastor also learn to supernaturally lead God's people. Lead God's people supernaturally. There are times to be very logical. There are a couple of times you won't be logical. You will be led supernaturally to do what God wants you to do. And that's always it. That's why a pastor should know how to be led by the Spirit of God. You have to know how to be led by the Spirit of God. And I told you the instance where we started LMA, of course, what happened was that I had this vision overnight. So I didn't know what it was. It was not a dream. So I now went somewhere. I've never told this story before. So I went somewhere. That was in 2010. It was someone's birthday. Someone I know very well. We had known since the 90s. So I went to his birthday. So I just heard them talk about a Bible school. Now, I've been doing Bible school way before I pastor sales committees. I've been doing Bible school. I've done Bible school. So it wasn't like a new thing about Bible school. So as he mentioned it, then I saw the picture in the magazine. Now, I just knew, oh, that was what I saw in the night before in the vision. No, two nights before, actually. It was December 2010. So I... No, it was earlier than that. So I just knew, oh, it's time to have an in-house training program for those who be in leadership. So, without praying it through enough, we now did a short-term program. Because that flowed what I saw in the magazine. And I kept telling myself, well, should we do another class? I kept asking those questions. But we now had, that must have been 2011, 11, is it 11 or 12? We now had the graduate, 20, we now started 2011. Okay, so 2012, we now had a graduation. You don't want to see the pictures. People wore suits. I also wore one funny, you know, I was looking good. So I was handing over certificates. As I was doing it, I knew in my spirit, this is nonsense. It was camp meeting. I said, what are you doing here? So it now came to my head that, to my heart, sorry, that it was what was in my head in that magazine that I replayed. I said, yeah. You know, you can so be led by the sight, by sight. We gave people award. They are here. It wasn't long, I told them. See, that thing we did is nonsense. Who are looking at it? I said, yes, that thing we did that day is rubbish. We took pictures. Some people took special pictures. Somebody was supposed to travel abroad or something. And all that. I just said, no. You only followed what was in the magazine, not what was in your spirit. So we now had to start it all over again. So don't be afraid to start again. Amen. It was that magazine that I saw. You know, of course, I didn't see myself wear graduation gown. I didn't do graduation gown. I think it was this. There's this suit like that had. I forgot what I wore. I don't like seeing that picture. I don't like seeing. Somebody was reminding me. Was it 2 years ago? You came to our church in South Africa and all that. I said I can't remember. I know I came, but I can't remember. Because I knew that when I went there in 98, I wasn't supposed to go. So I don't like seeing it. So when I see that particular picture, I think I even deleted it from my Facebook. If I'm not there, I'll view it tonight. I don't like seeing it at all. Soldier put his own as his profile. Where is that boy? When I saw it, he's not a man, though. Don't mind me. I know him as a boy. You know. So, sir, this guy is wearing this useless thing on his. Is it his fault? It's my fault now. I was too forward. So I just forward. But when I now waited, when people ask me, when do we graduate at LMA? We say, the gospel is not for temporary things. It's for eternal things. So, LMA is an eternal thing. That's what I'm trying to say. But the point was, I wasn't actually led to do a Bible school. That was the point. I was just led to do something separate to train ministers, leaders in church. But sometimes, because something is in your head, you now use what is in your head to translate what is in your spirit. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's what is in my head. Now, I don't have a problem with those doing Bible school, and I participate in it. I give out this, and I'm yet to wear a gown, but if I'm giving, I'll wear it. But that's not what I am led to do. and even their Bible schools, not just in Nigeria, that help them draw their curriculum. I still did one last week. I helped them reset it. Okay, take this teaching, do that. I still do it for them. And they graduate people like they do. But that's not what I am led to do. So sometimes you can be too forward, and I was. So I've apologized to those of you who got award. I'm sorry. But that's it. You grow with your pastor. Amen. Don't groan. Grow. So a key thing, Acts 20, Paul says, save with the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, Acts 23, bonds and affliction abide me. But look at 24, we'll close here. None of these things move me, neither count my life there unto death, so that I might finish my course with joy, and make sure I receive the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Look at that key word. None of these things move me. So you will need an obedient attitude, a consecration, so that when the things are not palatable, you obey. In Acts 21, when they began to prophesy to Paul, and they said, don't go. You know, apparently they saw what the prophet saw, and they said, don't go. Agabus also said, he saw his guard bound. Paul said, don't break my heart. I am ready even to die in Jerusalem. That's consecration. That is, if I'm led to do it, I'll do it. People get involved in marriages that are not, that won't look so smooth, maybe financially and all that. Then they'll start sensing maybe God didn't lead them. How would you use financial comfort to look at God? That's nonsense. That's rubbish. That's not, how can that be a proof of God's leading? No. I've told you many times, the proof of obedience is obedience itself. The proof that God led you is the leading itself. Can be in a place. A guy was telling me how he was led to go somewhere in the coast of Brass to do the work of ministry. He said it's so tough. Himself and the wife, they just got married. They abandoned their jobs in Abuja and they went there. He said the thing is that they knew it was very tough. Husband and wife. And it's good to have the right person. Because another person will just tell you, hey, you are led to Brass. That's good. You'll be coming and going, have you? He said, no. She just said to her, to him, no, wherever you go, I'll go. And then they traveled together, they were there. I said, tough. That is only a time that they both felt so ill. And they said to themselves, we will not complain. God led us here. And they found joy when people received Christ in those areas where you practically had to live your life all over again. You know, the comfort wasn't there. In fact, as I'm speaking, I don't think the comfort is there because they had to go over the water. I said to go to that place that they do 7 hours on the boat. It's not ship or boat. But they found it in their spirit to do it. Husband and wife. And the wife is pregnant, like the man told me, and she's still very strong. So I told them, I said, we're praying for you. Make sure you strengthen each other. Because the devil seeks who will be divorced. That's how one uncle will call her. I'm okay. I hear you are. I'm not arguing with you. Come now. And that's an uncle you respect a lot. That's how you get there. And the uncle will start counseling you. He has been a Christian for many years. There was somebody like that who was counseling me. Man used to wear white alone. My dad had known him since the 50s, when he was very young, when he was younger. So the man told me so many things, said I learned. Said, look, ministry, so and so said, my pastor, remember the pastor, the popular pastor in Lagos now. He said, my pastor said, because he read philosophy, when you read philosophy, you'll be a good philosopher with the Bible. When he was telling me that, he counseled me for a lot, and man, I respect the man a lot. When he was done, so he took me out. He said, so, he didn't hear me say anything, so he took me out. I said, He said he will hear me now, and I've spoken to him. I said, I didn't say so. And I said, ah. I said, I didn't say anything. He said, ah. Even your father, I knew in university. I said, I know, sir. I respect you, sir. So what are you saying? What I said before you met me. Ah. You mean all the 2 hours I spent with you? I said, no. Thank you for your love, sir. I appreciate everything. But like I said earlier, it's God that told me what I'm doing. It's God that told me to do what I'm doing. One day my dad called me. He said, do you know I know God called you? I said, how? He said, the way you were about all we threw at you, internally, externally, supernaturally. I mean, they will bring prophets to come and prophesy for me. When that one has not done, they will now bring jazz man. And I sat him down and said, you know, you and my mom, when you slept together, you know why she conceived? Say why? So that you give birth to a preacher. Said that day he signed in his life that this one is gone. And I said, don't stress yourself. You're only privileged to be the one to give birth to a preacher of the gospel. So be of good cheer. That's where you count the cost. If God has led you, do what he has told you to do. It doesn't have to be popular on Facebook or social media. Just do what he has asked you to do. Stay where he has asked you to stay. Are you listening to the Spirit of God? Or are you listening to your flesh, your emotions? Are you listening to how you feel, society? Make up your mind that anything you see on social media will move you. Make up your mind. Anything you read, that's the work God wants you to do. You already know it. Know very well that whatever will make us backslide, whatever will make us go astray, there's already an inward witness you had about it. Whichever wrong friends, strange relationships, strange, you know, trips, strange engagements, you already have an inward witness, about it. So listen to it. I said earlier, when you listen, you know you have questions. Listening, you take note of details. Listening, you know, oh Lord, what are you talking about here? And then you're able to follow God's plan. Praise God. Amen. Let's say this together. Father, I submit to your will and authority to be led by your Spirit. I repent and I adjust in my heart anywhere I have allowed doubt, fear, suspicion, and worldly intentions to guide me. I give myself wholly to the leading of your Spirit. I know how to hear and hear from your Spirit. I know how to follow. I am not confused. I know your voice, the voice of a stranger. I will not follow. I will heed to your Spirit. Morning, afternoon, and evening time, I'll follow you. When it's convenient, when it's not convenient, I'll still follow you. Every day of my life, even around natural things, I will watch for the inward witness, the leading of your Spirit. I have no season or time where I listen to the flesh alone, even in entertainment, even in worldly affairs. I will pay attention to the leading of your Spirit. I'm sure I won't go astray, as I know how to be led by your Spirit. Amen. Let's just pray.